All right, everyone, welcome in to another Big Ten Bloodlines. We're going to recap the finals of the NCAA men's tournament, touch briefly on the women's tournament. I'm Rob, he's Eli. This is Big Ten Bloodlines. So we're going to start off with the men's Elite Eight. So we have Illinois versus Iowa in a Big Ten matchup. This is the matchup that guaranteed a Big Ten team into the Final Four, which is definitely nice. More to come on that, obviously. So Illinois ended Iowa's Cinderella run and punched its ticket to the Final Four for the first time in 21 years, dominating the Hawkeyes in Houston 71-59. Freshman phenom Keaton Wagler led the way with 25 points and was named the South region's most outstanding player. Stojakovic added 17 and Mirkovic grabbed 12 rebounds. The Illini size advantage built around 7'1" of Visic and his twin brother proved decisive as Illinois out-rebounded Iowa 38-21 and outscored than 40-12 in the paint. Sterritz led Iowa with 24 points, but the Hawkeyes' lack of shooting ultimately caught up to them. Iowa shot poorly from three and just couldn't space the floor out against the Illini's towering front court. First-year coach Ben McCollum, as a four-time Division II champion who has guided Iowa to a stunning upset of top-seeded Florida in the second round, saw his team's remarkable run come to an end. Elias, what say you on the Illini versus the Hawkeye game?
Things were going well for Iowa in the first half. They were up by four entering the second half. But even though Illinois was shooting for three much worse than Iowa, as they were 3 of 17, Illinois was just deeper than Iowa. And that is incredibly apparent. When you look at the box score and see that Bennett Sturtz at 24, see that only one player scored double figures besides Sturtz. And having one player score all of your points, especially against a team this deep and this big, especially in the Elite Eight, is not going to work out well for you unless your name is Steph Curry.
Yeah, it definitely did not work out well. And you're right, Iowa hung tough early, but just could not pull it out. And now we move into Arizona-Purdue, the next Big Ten game. Top-seeded Arizona returned to the Final Four for the first time in 25 years, erasing a 7-point halftime deficit with a dominant 16-3 second-half run to beat Purdue 79-64 in San Jose. Akoa Pete, a four-time Arizona State champion who won four USA basketball gold medals, scored 20 points and was named the West region's most outstanding player. So Karakovic added 18, Jaden Bradley and Baton Burns each chipped in for 14 as the Wildcats ran their winning streak to 13 games. Purdue led by seniors Brandon Smith, 13 points, Trey Kaufman ran 10 points, and Fletcher Lawyer with 8 points, held a 38-31 lead at halftime, but completely fell apart in the second half, shooting just 38% for the game, their second lowest point total of the season. Arizona's defense bottled up the Boilermakers' usually efficient offense, and the three veteran seniors who had been together since the Fairleigh Dickinson first-round upset in 2023 ultimately could not get back to the Final Four. Elias, what are your thoughts on this game?
Arizona's defense just stifled Purdue's normally potent offense, and Purdue just going 8 of 22 from the three-point line was not helping them whatsoever. Purdue likes to win off the three ball. Either Braden Smith, Kaufman Wren, or Lawyer was shooting particularly well for him to that game either.
Yeah, Purdue's usually very efficient, one of the more efficient offenses in the country, and just couldn't get it done. Speaking of efficient offenses, we move on to Michigan-Tennessee. So Michigan wins 95-62 going away, and it wasn't that close. Michigan delivered a masterclass in team basketball, overwhelming Tennessee 95-62 in Chicago to advance the Wolverines to the first Final Four since 2018. Yaxel Lennenberg led the scores with 28 points and was named Midwest Region's most outstanding player. While Elliot Cadeau dished out 10 assists, Michigan seized control early in the first half with a 21-0 run that turned a 2-point deficit into a 19-point lead, making it 48-26 at halftime. Tennessee never recovered from the blitz, finishing with just 32% shooting from the field. It was the third straight Elite Eight loss for the Vols under Rick Barnes, who has never been able to advance past this round since his lone Final Four appearance in 2003 at Texas. Michigan became the first team to win four NCAA tournament games in double digits while scoring at least 90 points each, an unprecedented level of dominance. Elias, what are your thoughts on this game?
I mean, I was not expecting this game to be close at all, and I was proven right. Michigan dominated this game start to finish with four of their five starters in double figures. It was going to be incredibly hard for Tennessee to overcome Michigan's size, and they did not. Not at all.
Yeah, and Tennessee had a decent start, but yeah, the Wolverines were down briefly and then just roared back.
of the Volunteers players, JP Estrella, is now on the Michigan Wolverines roster for the 2026-2027 basketball season. So if you can't beat him, join him.
Yeah, he wants to get into the Final Four. It's understandable. Speaking of Final Four, we'll now go into UConn, Illinois. So UConn muscled its way to its third national championship game in four seasons, surviving a late charge in Indianapolis to beat the Fighting Illini 71-62. Braylon Mullins, who had famously hit the 35-foot buzzer beater to beat top-seeded Duke in the Elite Eight, delivered again with a clutch catch-and-shoot three-pointer with 52 seconds left to push UConn's lead to 66-59 to ice the game. Terrace Reed Jr. posted 17 points and 11 rebounds, and Solo Ball added 13 for the Huskies. Illinois Keaton Wagler had 20 points and 8 rebounds. Avisic added 16, but the Illini shot a miserable 6 of 26 from 3 and were unable to replicate their previous dominance. Star forward Alex Caravan struggled badly with his shot, 1 of 8 from the field. He did end up with 9 points, yet UConn extended its remarkable streak to 19 wins in a Sweet 16 or beyond. One more win would give UConn 7 national championships, all since 1999, and move them into third place of all time. We'll see if they get there. So, Elias, what are your thoughts on this game?
I mean, this was just a very ugly game for both teams. UConn shot 35% from the field. Illinois shot 34%, and Illinois somehow only had 3 assists the entire game. I don't know how that's possible exactly, but they achieved that.
Yeah, UConn really spent this tournament dragging people into the game that they can win, and we'll definitely have more on that coming. But yeah, the Illini were the number one efficient offense of all time in KenPom, and they really just had they struggled quite a bit with UConn's defense. Moving on to our other Final Four game, also including the Big Ten, Michigan versus Arizona, in what was billed as the marquee matchup. Hey, this is the national championship game. We don't even need to play Monday night. Let's just crown them and call it a day. So the two number one seeds, and Michigan really turned this into a blowout, overpowering Arizona 91-73. Again, wasn't that close. In Indianapolis, in a performance described as a dunk fest / highlight reel, Adai Mara posted a career-high 26 points and 9 rebounds. Trey McKinney came off the bench for 16. Michigan jumped out to a double-digit lead within the first 5.5 minutes, becoming the first team to score 90 or more points in 5 consecutive tournament games. Lennon Borg played just 14 minutes after rolling an ankle, spraining his knee and his ankle, and had some bone bruises and just really had a rough injury there. But vowed that he'd play in the championship game. Koa Pete had 16 points and 11 rebounds for the Wildcats, but the Wildcats only shot 36% overall and committed 9 turnovers in the first half alone, trailing 48-32 at the break. For a team with only 2 losses all season, both by 3 or 4 points in early February, this was a stunning dismantling by a Michigan team that looked every bit like a pro squad, really just taking apart the Arizona Wildcats, who was widely regarded as the best team left in the tournament after Duke's exit. So, Elias, what are your thoughts on that game?
I mean, as you said, pretty much everybody, myself included, expected this to be potentially the best Final Four game of all time, and it did not live up to that billing. Michigan shot 48% from the field and 44% from 3. Their size just dominated Arizona. I was not expecting Michigan to be able to just physically impose their will on Arizona as much as they will. Arizona has 4 players on the roster who are 6'8 or above, so I was expecting them to match up decently well with Michigan's bigs, and they just did not.
No, they really didn't, and this game was supposed to be the tight nail biter. I think we wasted a lot of points in that game. We could have used them the next, you know, in a couple nights later. So heading into the finals, we have Michigan versus UConn. So Michigan won the program's second national title, spoiler alert, and the first since 1989 with a gritty defense first 69-63 victory over stubborn UConn in Indianapolis. So this was nothing like Michigan's 90 point scoring blowout wins that they'd put together all tournament long. Up to this point, every game was double digits. Every game was 90 plus points. The Wolverines made just 2 3-pointers all night and were out-rebounded on the offensive glass 22-12, but Elliott Cadeau stepped up with a game-high 19 points. McKinney had a 3-pointer with a minute 50 left that basically sealed the game for Michigan. Michigan held UConn to just 30.9% shooting, the 4th straight opponent the Wolverines held to a season-low field goal percentage. UConn fought to the very end. Alex Caravan did return to form with 17 points, 11 rebounds. Former Wolverine Terrace Reed Jr. had 13 points and 14 rebounds. So a couple double-doubles there, keeping the Huskies in it. But a Caravan 3 with 17 seconds left barely missed, and McKinney's free throws closed it out. Lennonberg playing through a hurt knee and foot, finishing with 13 points on 4 of 13 shooting. Michigan's collective toughness prevailed and brought Ann Arbor the championship. Again, a gritty performance. difference. Both teams played tremendous defense, really impacted the flow of each other's offense. Dan Hurley at halftime did say, you know, hey, we're playing the only game that we can win. And he was right. It did get stressful. I wish we would have had some of the points from the Arizona game to pad this and make the night a little bit smoother. But it was definitely, I wouldn't say a good game. I mean, it was a good game, but it was not a fun game to watch as a Wolverine. It ended great. Just played incredibly tough. McKinney hitting the three-pointer to really stretch that out. There was a lot of drama with some missed free throws that, you know, Michigan hadn't been missing free throws the entire game, and then all of a sudden missed a couple in a row just to add to the drama of what was really an excellent tournament all around. So Elias, what are your thoughts on this one?
This game played out exactly how you kind of wanted it to. It was very slow paced. They somehow out-rebounded Michigan, and Michigan only made 2 3-pointers all game. Michigan still found a way to win. I'd seen the future on April 6th, like an hour before the game, and told you that Michigan would only make 2 3-pointers and get out-rebounded. Would you say they won the game?
No, that wouldn't be my expectation at all. But yet they found a way to win. Excellent free throw shooting was a big reason why. We also do want to give a special shout out to the Lady Bruins. The UCLA Lady Bruins really had a nice tear through the women's tournament, which was, again, another really just enjoyable tournament to watch. So the Lady Bruins were down early to Duke. I don't even remember what round, but it was earlier on in the tournament. Came roaring back to win, and then really went on cruise control after that, taking out Texas, who knocked out Michigan pretty resoundingly. They went on to beat South Carolina pretty handily. Clean sweep in NCAA men's and women's basketball. That also brings us to some of the 2026 highlights for what was really a historic year for the Big Ten. Unprecedented success for the conference, marked by 7 national records and dominant performances across multiple sports. So we did get the triple crown of national titles in 2026, with the Big Ten becoming the first conference since a women's basketball became an NCAA sport to win national titles in football, men's basketball, and women's basketball, all in the same year, all by 3 different schools, really showing the balance of the conference across the board.
And we were close to having hockey too, but Denver beat back-to-back Big Ten teams.
Denver came back to, you know, came from behind on back-to-back Big Ten teams, unfortunately. So we didn't get the men's hockey. We did get the women's hockey. So we did have the women's hockey championship. Penn State, I think, won the wrestling championship again. Michigan won a gymnastics championship. There's a ton of national champions in the Big Ten, truly the champions conference. So men's basketball, again, Michigan won its first national title since 1989. Wolverines dominated the season with a 19-1 conference record, the best in Big Ten history, and undefeated on the road. Women's basketball champion with new conference member UCLA secured the women's title in 2026 and the league's first since Purdue in 1999. Indiana capped the conference triple crown by winning. Actually, they started the triple crown by winning the college football playoff in January 26, sent the 6 teams to the Sweet 16 in 2026. Nebraska, Iowa, Michigan, Purdue, Illinois, and Michigan State. Nebraska's milestone ending their drought, their 0-8 historical drought, by earning their program's first ever wins, and a few of them at that. Yeah, Wisconsin's women's hockey. We brought up the women's hockey. It was the Wisconsin women that won that. Elite Eight record. The Big Ten tied the NCAA record by placing 4 teams in the Elite Eight. It was the only conference with multiple teams in the Elite Eight this year. The league amassed 19 total wins in the tournament, which is the highest tally since 2013. The conference set a new tournament record by recording 8 wins of 20 points or more in March Madness. A conference record 6 Big Ten teams in the Sweet 16. And then turning to the leaders and best, the national champion, Michigan Wolverines. Beyond ending their drought, Michigan's 37-3 season set several specific benchmarks. Scoring dominance, Michigan became the first program in tournament history to score at least 90 points in 5 different games in a single NCAA tournament. Michigan went 10-0 in conference road games, the first Big Ten team to go undefeated on the road since 1976, also national champions, Indiana Hoosiers. And they did finish the year the unanimous number 1 in the top 25 poll. That hasn't been done in several years. And then as far as individual and coaching milestones for the Big Ten, Tom Izzo became the winningest coach in Big Ten history, passing Bobby Knight with his 354th conference victory. Brennan Smith from Purdue, the senior guard, became NCAA all-time leader in career assists with 1,103, surpassing Bobby Hurley. He also set a record for the most minutes played in an NCAA tournament history with 5,067. Former Big Ten and Michigan player Terrace Reed Jr., so we're going to give him an honorable mention here. In losing efforts, the former Michigan player became the first player since 1972 to record at least 30 points and 20 rebounds while shooting 80% in an NCAA tournament game. And then as far as other financial and viewing success, Big Ten success in 2026 resulted in a massive $70 million payday out of March Madness, with approximately $63 million guaranteed by the men's tournament alone. The Purdue-Michigan Big Ten championship game was the most watched conference title game on any network in 30 years, peaking at 6.2 million viewers. The 2026 tournament overall was the most watched since 1993. Michigan's 2026 title, the Big Ten now has 11 total men's national championships won by active members, while in the conference, Indiana, Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, and Wisconsin all tallying some of those wins. If we took on UCLA's, I think we'd be doing even better, but these are active conference. That total ranks the Big Ten fourth all time, behind the ACC with 15, the Pac-12 with 15, and the SEC with 12. So we're knocking on the door. 51 total appearance in the NCAA Final Four, tying the ACC for the most of any conference in tournament history. So Elias, any other closing thoughts about March Madness this year?
This was a great tournament. It was nice having some upsets after the very chalky tournament we had last year, and Ohio State should have beaten TCU. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, they should have. There's next year. You've got some good building blocks. So I'm Rob. He's Eli. The Big Ten is your Triple Crown national champion, with the leaders and best taking home the men's basketball national title, first time since 1989. We will see y'all next time.